Hare Krishna. I'm not going to answer any questions today because I sent all the questions away to Manjari, who's going to set up a new site for me just to access my questions in a more systematic way. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to ramble a little right now on meeting I had last night. From the title, you can see it continues on the subject of festivals. And I was meeting with Nilamani Chakravarti last night, and she's in charge of guests and receiving guests in New Brajadam, and the subject was about wanted to see the accommodations for guests coming from abroad. And then we're just talking about festivals and how much of a role they do or don't play in devotees' lives, why devotees like them, what they like about them, what they don't like about them, why they come, why they don't come, why things are a little different in terms of the way they used to be, for instance, when we had festivals here 15 years ago. And earlier, as I was talking about the festivals here 15 years ago, and I'm going to just mention them to devotees, because a lot of the listeners won't have been here. It really dawned on me that the difference in the attitude to devotees' attitude towards participation in festivals is their attitude towards Krishna consciousness. That may not seem to be something so revelatory, but if I sort of describe how things used to happen, it really gives a real perspective of how devotees sort of change in their values, how much they value something, and ultimately, for me, that's what it really comes down to: what type of role does Vaishnava festivals play in our lives? Is it a social event? Is it an opportunity to, as I was mentioning a few days back, to be entertained, to have a good feast, or is it the opportunity to, for Vaishnav Sangha, intense chanting and hearing, getting together, and whatever the cost, in order to really strengthen our own Krishna consciousness, and most important of all, to glorify the Lord. To glorify Janmashtami and Radhashtami and Govardhan Puja and Gaur Purnima and these festivals. The first festival, our first festivals weren't held here. For 2 years we held festivals, one in the Balaton, and then two different places elsewhere, and they were rented facilities. I guess in 93 is when we first got New Brajadam, and that must mean that in 94 was our first festival here. And the temple began construction in 94. Perhaps we had festivals here already in 93. I can't remember. Maybe some Hungarian devotees will. Who were here at that time. Anyway, the first festival, of course, I'll just give devotees a little picture of how devotees lived in here in New Brajadam when we first came here. It's in 93, we lived in the village. And yes, in 94, when we started construction, then we moved the temple over here. The morning program was here. It wasn't in the village. In the village, we had a house with two rooms. And one was where the men lived, one was when the ladies lived. And when the men got up and cleaned up the room, then we had the morning program in the room. It was the temple room. But then when we moved over here, the men were living in the barn, and the ladies were living in the house. They took over the whole house down there, and the temple room was, it no longer exists. It's outside, now it's where Barshana is, and it was out of straw bales. We had a temple. The walls were straw bale, and the top was some kind of corrugated steel sheeting. And next to that was the kitchen, which has a corrugated top, and it had no sides. In the winter, we put up, on one side, we put up sort of 2 meter high corrugated, but wind blew through that, and then we had two burners. I was just speaking with someone else in the reception area where there's a whole bunch of pictures of days of yore, and there's pictures there of Chandradoya cooking, and he cooked outside in the winter. I don't know if you know what that means in Hungary. It's not like being in England in the winter. Here it means it's, you know, the snow, there's blizzards, it's minus 10, 15, minus 20 Celsius. And he was standing outside, and that was, you know, November, December, January, February, March, until it got warm, he was cooking outside. That's all we had. That's all we could afford. And the devotees were... We were in the temple room, and the men were living in the barn, and they had a big barrel in which we would bring water, and in the morning they would break the ice from the top of the barrel and have a bucket bath, like Sankirtan devotees do. So that, anyway, that's how we lived. And the first festival, I remember we had a similar, we built a larger, just with a top, corrugated top, temple room down in the valley, and that's where we had kirtan, and everyone camped out. At that time, devotees didn't live in the village. They didn't stay at, if I remember right, at the house of Karmis. I think it was probably something that was inconceivable to devotees that they would live in the house of meat eaters. So everyone camped, and we had 300 devotees at that time who were camping out, all in tents, whatever the weather was, and I'll describe how once the weather was, and they lived under those conditions, and we had a great time. Oh yes, and then the bath, yes, the first bathing facilities was that we rented toilets, that was the toilet. And the bathing is that we put, had a black plastic, just had a area surrounded for the ladies, surrounded for the men. And we had a big water container truck, and everyone came with a bucket, and they collected water, obviously it was cold water, from the water container. And then they went into the covered area, and they bathed, and that was how we bathed. And Govindamraj was there at that time. I'm sure Balabharapu was also there. I was there, and we had classes and kirtan. And it was mostly outside because it was just that little temple that we stayed inside. And everyone was blissful. So those were the conditions. And it sort of shows what devotees went to. And everyone came. Everyone came. Everyone participated. And then the next year, I remember the next year we bought a tent. Not the same tent that you see here now, but it was a different tent. It cost us, I think, 3 million forint, and we bought it over time. We had to pay for it over a period of 2 years, which was unfortunate because it got destroyed. The tent, one after our festival in the same fall, the big hurricane came along and took the tent, which wasn't fixed in the ground as this other one is, and threw it up into the trees. So when we brought the tent down from the trees, it was all twisted and mangled, and the canvas was torn and ripped, and so it was a total write-off, but we ended up having to pay for it for another 2 years. Anyway, and that second year, I remember that Govinda Maharaj had just arrived, and devotees were coming in the evening, and these were about, I think, 4 or 5 day festivals, and devotees were arrived in the evening, and it was pouring rain. And they had no shelter. They couldn't put up their tents. It was pouring rain. So these people who we bought the tent from, they were setting up the tent. And since the devotees had nothing to do when they just came, we just started a kirtan. And I remember that as they were setting up the tent, and in certain sections of the tent became covered, then all the devotees moved to the parts of the tent that were covered, and were chanting kirtan up until that time that was all finished, and then they had a place to stay, and then it sort of stopped. It was really, really strong rain, and for that festival was good. Another rain I remember where we actually had a blizzard. Once again, the devotees were in the tents, and not only tents got blown away, but it was such a flash flood that cars were blown away, and they were floating down, and they were just floating down the our stream, our little river. So we had to end up actually, at that time, yes, we had the temple already, because devotees, I remember putting up devotees in the temple, in the art studio, that was where they would be able to stay because their tents got blown off. But everyone was very happy, and it was a more or less the cost of the festival was similar. It hasn't changed very much over the years because it was a very important, integral aspect of their lives. They saw that this is my life. And it wasn't so much an issue of, well, as I mentioned earlier, I'm sometimes really bewildered when we have sort of festival and a lot of devotees end up sitting, talking, chatting outside, whether it's during lecture or during kirtan, and it becomes more of a social gathering, an opportunity to just sort of talk. It's no longer necessarily just exclusively devoted to glorifying Krishna, sadhana, getting absorbed, but so many other things come into the mix. So how important are festivals to our lives? How important is it an opportunity for getting together and glorifying Krishna? I guess as important as Krishna consciousness is to our lives. We sacrifice as much or get absorbed as much in festivals as we are Krishna conscious, and it makes that much of a difference to our lives. Indeed, Jitamantapadyante, and that's what we can also expect out of them. So no doubt there's always room for development and improvement and so many other things, but anyway, one does what one can do, and the more unified and concerted our approach is to Krishna consciousness, to achieving, doing projects, and realizing the best way to glorify and satisfy Krishna, the more satisfied we feel, and the more productive it will be. Yes, it's that cooperation that's really the key. The more devotees work together and participate together to make something happen, then it will happen. When we're expecting someone else to make things happen, then that's one less person who's in the team for making it happen. And that more or less is the bottom line of the success of Krishna consciousness. Are we talking about rugged individualism, individuals, or everyone sharing the load in order to make it bigger, bigger, and better for the glory of the Lord? Hare Krishna.